In this way, God teaches us that He is master of the universe, that He alone is Lord. How we need this reminder. We who are so prone with our pride to want God to conform to our plans, and then people write books on proving, unquote, that what they want is what God wants. Instead of our always adjusting our hearts to the heart of God, our minds to His, our wills to His mysterious but all-wise holy will. Moreover, and with emphasis, how often I've told myself this, as I've been telling my students over the years, the deepest understanding of your faith will not come from books. It will come from experience and prayer. The kingdom of Christ is most effectively promoted, and the grace of God is most abundantly poured out on the souls of men by those who have learned the meaning of the apostolate of suffering. Back in the earth. I fairly believe that more people would be holy and fewer would be unholy if only they had the humility and gave God the time to listen with the ears of the Spirit, and to look with the eyes of the mind at what Christ is saying and what He is showing us every day, and I don't hesitate adding all day. This, I submit, is the main purpose of meditation, which is not only for priests and religious, but for everyone. To be enlightened by the Christ who dwells down deep inside of the spirit of man, telling us what He wants of us, and even explaining how He wants us to serve Him. As I have by now, I suppose, told hundreds of people who have asked for counsel, what can I really tell you? I tell them, you have the best of spiritual directors with you, within you. But in God's name, listen to Him. So far, the non diminis. Now the prophecy. There is a short pause in Luke's narrative of the Nunc Dimittis before he recounts the prophecy regarding Jesus and Mary. Evidently, Simeon received a second revelation after Mary and Joseph were said to have marveled at what Simeon had already said. Simeon then uttered two prophecies, one about Jesus and the other about Mary. The two are closely related. Regarding Jesus, behold, Simeon says, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel. How true this soon proved to be true. The Jews had been waiting for centuries for the Messiah. Prophet after prophet kept telling them to pray and await the one who is to come. Then he came. So he did. And how many even knew that he had come? Then when he began his public ministry, how divided were the Jews about Jesus? Some for him, his staunch, devoted followers, even to dying for his name, and others against him, even to killing him, because he disappointed their unfounded hopes. No one is neutral about Jesus. So it was, and so it is. All we've got to do is read, for example, some of the ecstatic prayers of mystics like Augustine or Teresa or John of the Cross, in which they exhaust the vocabulary of human language to try in some dim way to express their love for Jesus. A Margaret Mary. What can keep us, she says, from becoming saints as long as we have a body to suffer and a heart to love? Compare that, I say, with the blasphemies of men like Voltaire or Marx or Nietzsche, hating Christ and every Christian just because they are followers of the madman, as Nietzsche said, of Christ. To see that Christ is still and will always be the rock of scandal that divides believers from infidels. Then Simeon's prophecy regarding Mary. Turning to her, he said, "And thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." This was the opening prediction of Mary's role in the salvation of the world. She was to be a martyr in spirit. From all accounts that we have, she never suffered in body. But she was to suffer interiorly and thus cooperate with her son in redeeming a sinful mankind. Mary thus is the prototype of the silent, patient martyr. Of the by now, no doubt, tens and hundreds of thousands of mothers, the monarchs of 19 centuries of Christian history, over their wayward sons and daughters. And the number of monarchs today, in case you have not been told, is large. Those in every walk of life, the wives estranged by their husbands, and what is less publicized, the husbands abandoned by their wives, the almost 1 million children in the United States alone stranded by the American divorce courts. The priests trying to be faithful to the Christ who ordained them, suffering silently, while so many of their fellow priests are causing them so much pain. The anguish in so many cloisters and convents, polarized, what a cheap word, divided between those who are willing and ready to follow Christ in the modern world in faithfully practicing poverty, chastity, and obedience, and those who just a few days ago, when they were reminded that Pope John Paul had told religious women to wear a distinctive garb signifying their consecration, when they were interviewed by the media, "He's not talking to us." Only Christ crucified knows how much martyrdom of spirit is being endured in countless human hearts, because once again, as way back in Palestine centuries ago, Christ is the rock of scandal, dividing those who are with him and those who are, in spite of their verbal protestations, against him. All of this has some profound lessons for all of us. Mary, like her son Jesus, teaches that because sin entered the world, there must be expiation. A nice word can be poetic, even romantic. Expiation. Let's be more prosaic. Expiation means pain. We, unlike Mary, we've got to first expiate our own sins. Welcome pain in your lives. It is God's blessed way of purifying you for that heaven where nothing sinful can enter. But it is not only our own sins that we are to expiate. Mary was sinless. It is to expiate the sins of others. And the more sinless we are, the more our patient suffering, patiently endured, will be effective, like Mary's sacrifice, in making reparation for the crimes of the human race. Let us ask Our Lady. Dear Mother Mary, you who suffered from the time that Jesus was a child in your arms until you held his limp, expired body in those same arms. Teach us, oh teach us, the value of suffering. Not only carry it patiently, but embraced willingly. Indeed, loved, because it is in this way that we become most like you and your Son. Mary, Queen of Martyrs, give me a martyr's heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.